there was ever a better time to pregame Brian Baldinger, courtesy of the River Islands guest line. It is right now, as all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Is it a time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? Baldy here to save the show, because I don't know how the hell we started talking about global warming or whatnot, how that impacted a loss. But anyway, hey, Baldy, good morning to you. You got to see a doozy in Cincinnati. Skyline chili, Burrow's 5 touchdowns. And, of course, Lamar doing Lamar-type things. We'll get to that in just a second. But I want to get your thoughts. We got some breaking news here over the last 20 minutes. Robert Saleh out as the head coach of the New York Jets. You spent a lot of time in New York with that team. I see you do a lot of podcasts with Bart Scott, a lot of stuff with Jets camp. Did you sniff that coming with the Jets? Because when I look at the last two losses, gave up 10 points to the Denver Broncos. Bo Nix threw for 60 yards. That's not out of defense. Aaron Rodgers threw in 3 interceptions and a pick 6. To me, that's not on the defense. Did you see this coming, Baldy?
Well, I saw a lot of things that just haven't worked and have not improved. The run game has been pathetic since the opening game against the 49ers. Breece Hall is a heck of a back. I just broke him down just before they fired Robert Saleh. And I just looked at Breece Hall, 65 runs this year. 31 of the 65 have gone for 2 yards or less.
Wow.
And a lot of those are first down runs. And basic, like, signature runs, outside zone, inside zone. I mean, they don't know where they're going. They don't know who they're supposed to double team. They're position blocking. They're not coming off the ball. That's all on coaching. I mean, they had 13 penalties against Denver in the rain, 5 pre-snap penalties. They just look sloppy. That always falls on the head coach. So I'm not surprised. Jeff Ulbrich, I would imagine, would be the upgraded to interim head coach. He's a good coach. He's done a good job with the defense. They should have won that game on Sunday against Minnesota. But, you know, they're not making the plays necessary to win it. And they could have easily won the last two. They just didn't make those plays necessary.
Baldy, Niner fans, again, you tell us how realistic this is. The immediate news of Robert Saleh getting fired, the amount of texts, chats, personal text that we received, bring Saleh back to San Francisco as DC. It's just pouring in. How realistic is that?
Nah, I don't think it's realistic right now. You're going to fire Sorensen after 5 games and replace him with Robert Saleh. I think it's more of a personnel issue than a coaching issue, although it is pretty vanilla. It is pretty plain what they do. But they've lost a lot of key players. They're not the defensive front they were when Robert was here. So, I mean, that's where it all starts up front. But I don't think it's realistic at this point right now to do this midstream like it.
All right, how realistic is it for this defense to step up against Seattle here? This defense, and we can start there. We'll get to the offense in a second, but the Niners dropped one. And, Baldy, when they lost that game, I thought of you immediately because you kind of checked me last week. I thought Arizona kind of laid down against Washington. You say, hey, that was an outlier. They play tough. They play physical. And you know what? They were physical in that second half, running for over 6.5 yards a carry with the Terminator, Connor. He played great. I mean, he is so physical. He's a good back. They made all the plays down the stretch defensively, cover 0 blitzes, whatnot. What went wrong defensively, however? Let's start there on the defense side of the ball for the 49ers against the run. Why are they not stopping the run right now?
Well, they're not getting off blocks. They're not in their gaps. I mean, they're kind of guessing a little bit. The linebacking core, I mean, I don't know if something's wrong with Fred. I mean, he looked bad at the end of the game.
Yeah.
I don't know if he was cramping or groin or something. Something wasn't right. It wasn't Fred. Ankle, okay, yeah. I mean, he was on one leg, you could tell. But the Arizona Cardinals have been running the ball well. I was just shocked. I know you guys talk about global warming. Like, were they in the locker room just saying, man, it's really hot out here today? No, because, I mean, they came out, Arizona went 2 plays, 68 yards, and scored a touchdown. Like, you know, I mean, nobody covered the tight end in the opening play of the game, right? You all saw that, Joe. 22 yards, Trey McBride. I mean, he was their leading receiver last year. It's not like he's a new guy on the block. They didn't cover him. And the second play, I mean, I've been watching highlights of Kyle since he went as at Allen High School in Texas. I have a farm not far from Allen. He's been running the same read option play. And the 49ers have gone up against them 6 years in a row now. Like, to look as confused as they were on that 50-yard touchdown run was bizarre. Now they got the game in control. And then, you know, they just completely lost control of the game at the end. And it started with the Arizona Cardinals' commitment to the run. And it was real. And James Conner has been able to do that. And I think Froholt's a good player. And, You know, Hernandez got hurt, but, you know, Cologne came in there. Paris played good. I thought they just decided they were going to go win the line of scrimmage. And when they beat the Eagles, when they beat the Cowboys, when they beat the Steelers last year, they ran the ball against all three teams like they did in the second half against the 49ers.
Yeah, I thought the other wide receiver, Wilson, played phenomenal and was wide open on a variety of plays. I want to go back to that run by Kyler Murray. Like, I don't want to pick on the guy, but Devondre Campbell is just, I don't know why he's playing so much. It's driving me nuts. And then Talanoa Hufanga made one of the worst angles I've ever seen. You brought up safety play and how, you know, you were taught many years ago where the safety needs to play on the ball. It's almost inexcusable how poorly they played that particular big-time chunk play. Talanoa has not been good this year. Their safety play has not been good. What do they do with linebacker and safety?
Well, I want to add to this, Baldy, too. Bosa crashing down. He says that's his assignment, but how can he adjust that? Because you see him crashing. We saw the Super Bowl with Patrick Mahomes killed him, Baldy.
Well, I mean, look, this assignment football, his job is to go tackle the mesh, whatever that is. Like, just go black. Now, but you have a guy. Now, you're right. I mean, Hufanga has been invisible. The safeties have been invisible.
Yeah.
Tig has been bad. Talanoa has been bad. Like, I don't know if they look hesitant, and they're going the wrong direction. I don't know what their keys are taking them on the 50-yard touchdown run. I don't know why they're getting sucked inside. I mean, when you ever – anytime you see a play, I don't care who executes it and who scores, anytime you see a 50-yard touchdown play, run or pass, in the league, just look at what the safeties are doing. Remember that play right before the end of the half by Jordan Addison last year against the Vikings?
Yep.
Like, you get poor safety play, whether it's bad, not playing the ball in the air correctly, or not tackling properly, or taking bad angles, it leads to 7 points.
Unbelievable. Baldy here on the River Islands guest line, breaking down the loss to the Arizona Cardinals. Niners now 2-3, a game behind Seattle, but they have a short week, short turnaround against a team that just lost to the New York Giants. It's a big-time game within the division here. The Niners can fall to 2-4 before playing the Kansas City Chiefs, who look like they're in a league of their own right now. Baldy, offensively, Brock Purdy, how would you assess his performance on Sunday against the Cardinals?
Well, I mean, look, he's got two tip balls that are intercepted. That always falls on the quarterback. You know, you can say he's thrown to Kittle on the first one, and he is. And, you know, the kid, Lopez, is, like, just stuck on the line of scrimmage and puts his hand up in the air in the passing lane, and the ball gets, you know, deflected. Honestly, like, if you look at these red zone struggles that they have, and this is not just, obviously, Joe, you bring it up quite a few times, but, you know, you get down there six times, you come away with one touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you just watch some of these plays. I'm like, I'm not sure where Brock is supposed to go. Honestly, these guys look like they're running to be covered. That's what it looks like. Either that or Arizona has just done an incredible job of scouting him, and they're positioning themselves in a spot where the receivers are going. And so these guys, like, but even that, you know, like, look, Kittle catches the pop pass over the middle. But, you know, the one that he, in the end zone, on the opening drive of the game, he caught that pass last week. Like, it's up there on the rim. He goes up and gets it. He's got two hands on it. He just doesn't come down with it this week. Last week, he came down with it when we celebrated it. You get the third down, you're the third red zone possession. You're down the 8-yard line, first and goal at the 8. And you get a 3-yard run. You get a 3-yard pass to Kittle. And on 3rd and 2, I don't know where, you know, Brock is supposed to go.
Yeah.
Honestly, like, I don't see what he's supposed to do with the ball. And he's only got 3, maybe 4 seconds. Then he starts running. You get the ball down there on the 7 with 16 seconds to go. 3 straight incompletions. I'm not sure where he's supposed to. You go through all of these. And so you ask me how to assess him. I don't know what he's supposed to do on some of these right now, Joe.
You know, Baldy, the Niners are 9-22 in the red zone. 9-22 so far this year in the red zone. I did a deep dive yesterday, and it just seems like the formations are just so basic. A lot of ace formations, 2 wide receivers on one side, tight end on one side with another receiver, and it's just the same vanilla. Like, I saw him run bunch formation in all the deep dives I did maybe one time within the red zone, and a lot of those first downs within the red zone, it's a predictable running play. It's so predictable. It's just a run with Mason and the personnel grouping, so I don't know what the hell's going on. You're right, Baldy. I guess I don't know what Brock Purdy's supposed to do when you put it like that.
Okay, here's the thing. Like, they're down on the 6. You know, they're down inside the 4. They're at the 8. They're at the 7. Your first option, if you're the play caller, is can we run it? Because if you can run it there, it eliminates the sacks, the tip balls mm-hmm. in a crowded, congested end zone. If you can run it in the way Kansas City did last night on some of their formations, if you can run it in there, you want to run it. Okay, now, what kind of runs are going to – because the defense is playing one of two coverages. They're either in quarters, all right, which is zone, mm-hmm. and they're just shrinking the holes where you can throw it, or they're in man. They're in one or the other. Now, if they're in man, that's where your bunch formations come in. That's where your picks come in, your rubs come in. You know, your flat routes coming off of a rub on the outside to the two receiver side. I mean, it becomes a lot easier to call plays if you have a pretty good predictability of what the defense is going to do. And it seems like they're struggling with that a little bit right now.
So what do you make of this stat? And my overall eyeballs are telling me he's just holding the ball forever. And I don't know why. I don't know why he's holding the ball forever. I like when he scrambles. I don't like when he's, you know, running in on these broken plays, trying to make something happen behind the line of scrimmage. 3.15. That is his time to throw, Brock Purdy's, which is the highest in the NFL. That is his average time to throw. What do you make of that stat after viewing the tape and seeing every single snap of his career? Like, I thought he was a quick processor and getting rid of the ball and quick rhythm timing. Is this something the defense is doing? Are guys not breaking once the initial routes are set? I don't know. Like, what do you make of that number?
Well, I mean, the only reason why a quarterback holds the ball is because he's waiting for somebody to get open. You want to get rid of it quicker. Now, you can, like Ayuk ran a couple of good routes the other day. He's playing much better.
He looks good.
Where the ball's out there on timing, and you could say he's throwing him open, but it's a timing play. He knows where Ayuk separates at the top of his routes extremely well, and he did on Sunday, and they got the ball to him on timing. But, you know, some of these routes in this game, he's holding it because he's waiting for somebody to beat one-on-one coverage. Or, you know, and even in zone coverage, it's still one-on-one football. You're running against a cover three outside corner. It's one-on-one. I mean, you know, you're in that. So, you know, who's winning? And you just don't see enough of that in order to get the ball out quicker right now. He's holding it. Credit to the protection's been pretty good. He's holding it, waiting for somebody to get open. If they get open, he's going to, you know, most of the time, he's going to put the ball pretty close to where it's got to be.
Talking to Baldy here on the River Islands guest line. Don't forget, after we have the conversation with Baldy, you will have a chance to have breakfast with Baldy Friday, October the 18th, when he's back in town to call the Chiefs-Niners game at Levi Stadium. We'll be giving out 10 spots. That's right, 10 spots for you and a guest to come in and have breakfast with Baldy. We cannot wait for that. You know Baldy, he gets down with the breakfast. He'll eat pork chops, ribs. He don't care what time of day it is. He's going to get down and dirty here.
Yeah.
Baldy, the red zone, going back to the red zone for a second, because a lot of us are saying, boy, that's the Christian McCaffrey factor. How much of a factor is Christian McCaffrey when it comes to the red zone walls? 9 of 22 again on the season so far.
I think it's a big part. I mean, you look at, I don't know, what do you have, 21 touchdowns last year? Mm. A lot of them were red zone, whether it's, you know, his runs in the red zone are unbelievable, how he finishes this. And really, I think it gives, I can't speak for Kyle on this, but I think he probably, and nothing against Jordan Mason. You know, the fumble hurts, no doubt. You put the game on ice if you don't fumble there. But give credit to the Cardinals. I mean, what Buda Baker did to Kittle in that play is just like, I mean, you should be arrested for as violently as he crushed Kittle. But regardless, that would help. Like I said, if you can run it inside the 10, the way Christian McCaffrey runs it in the 10, and while we all miss his power and vision together, it's a whole lot easier to call plays and to stay with the run. Maybe at the 2 yard line, maybe you stay with the run at the 2 and you don't attempt to pass with McCaffrey. And if you get to the 1, maybe you run it again on 4th down. I think it does give you better options. And I mean, he's an excellent player in that spot on the field.
Look, football happened on Sunday in the sense of they block a field goal attempt, they run it back for a touchdown, and on the ensuing kickoff, Jake Moody gets his ankle exploded, you know, on trying to tackle DJ Dallas, who's the only guy with a touchdown this year. They go, it's 23-13. They go 7 plays down the field, just bang, 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 bang. They get stuffed on a run. They have a false start. It's 2nd and 14. Purdy's holding the ball forever. 11 seconds, takes a sack. It's now like 3rd and 23. Ball gets tipped. It's 4th and 23. That entire sequence, not having your kicker there and having the punter as the backup, what did you make of that sequence? What should the coach, what should the players be thinking when you know you don't have your kicker there? Like, I thought that was a crucial missed opportunity for a variety of reasons. Do you take the field goal with the punter, even though it's a long try? Like, I don't know. Take me through being a player on that team in that sequence right there, or even a coach.
Well, I was just, I'll give you an example, Joe. I mean, it's a great question. Like, I was out there on the field in Cincinnati on Sunday, and you've got Evan McPherson on one side and Justin Tucker on the other side. I'm just watching because the Bengals lost the game because they couldn't get the hold down with the rookie punter, right? So they lost the game because of that play. Now, I was out there, and the last two guys on the field before I left the field, and the only two guys on the field were the two kickers. And I was just watching the kickers, watching their distance. I never see a punter kick in pregame warm-up. Never. Now, I might be missing it here, Joe, but I watch kickers every Sunday. I never see the punter or whoever might be the backup kicker attempt kicks. Like Justin Reed in Kansas City, the safety, is their backup kicker. He kicked a field goal last year. He kicked an extra point. I never see that. Now, I'm sure they probably work on it and, you know, during the week. But maybe Kyle doesn't have any faith, you know, in Wisniewski or whoever, you know, is the backup kicker. I don't know. But it probably affected his play calling and what he decided to do.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Baldy here on the River Islands guest line as the Niners get ready for Seattle. So what happened to Seattle against the New York Giants? Obviously, we're locked in on Arizona. We've watched a condensed version. I just saw, like, wow, 7 sacks for the New York Giants. They go up to Seattle and handled them to get the block field goal at the end of the game to seal the deal. What happened to Seattle up there against New York at home against a wounded New York Giants team?
Well, first of all, for whatever reason, Seattle decided they weren't going to run the ball and they were going to drop back and throw it. And it just played in the Giants' hands. I mean, Kenneth Walker is a hell of a back. He is a hard guy to bring down. I don't know. He had, 5, 6 carries in a game? Like, they didn't try to run it. That was number one. The offensive line, they got a backup right tackle. They got backups. You know, Lakin Tomlinson's left guard. You all remember Lakin.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they're not very good up front. And Dexter Lawrence, they got some one-on-ones with Connor Williams, the center. I mean, they destroyed him up front. You know, and then they made one huge play on a forced fumble. A rookie, Tyler Newbin, recovered it. And then they ran the ball right at him. I mean, this kid, Tyrone Tracy Jr., was a receiver 2 years ago at Purdue, and he ran for 124. Huh. They ran the ball really well. The Giants' offensive line has played well 3 weeks in a row, but it's the best I've seen a Giants line play maybe since, since their Super Bowl years. So they won the trenches.
Wow.
Fair and square, they won the trenches up there. And what happens when you do that is that 12th man nonsense that's up there. I don't want to say nonsense.
It's it is nonsense, Baldy. You're talking to San Francisco 49er fans. It is nonsense. They stole it from Texas A&M for crying out loud, and they pump in that fake noise. You know it, Baldy. That's why you got to wear hearing aids up there.
Yeah, well, all of a sudden, they got real quiet up there. And the Giants, they didn't just beat them. They thumped them bad. Wow. It's the best game I've seen the Giants play in years.
Wow, that's awesome. Baldy, forget last year. I don't want to hear about last year. The film this year, we're almost a third of the way through. They got their 6th game this Thursday. Finish the sentence. The identity of the 2024 49ers is what?
Slow. They just look slow, Joe. They look like a slow team. Like, I don't see speed. I just don't see, like, it just the whole operation, the pass rush, the receiver, they just look like a slow team to me. Now, look, when you're 2-3, nothing feels good, and you start using superlatives like I'm doing. But if I'm finishing a sentence, that's what it looks like to me. And that's, you know, that's your team, though. Like, that's what it looks like to me.
Slow. So how do they get faster? How do they get quicker?
I said to him over to Bonte yesterday, I go, they look really old. Yeah, and Bonte's like, how can they be old? Like, they were just in this, and I agree with him. Like, they were just in the Super Bowl, but they look really old and slower.
No doubt it looks a step slower, but you look at these red zone woes and you look the way they've blown these games. They're in total control of the LA Rams game. Total control. control.
Until they weren't.
And then all of a sudden, a punt return comes back and Ronnie Bell drops a pass. Like, wait a minute, you lost to the Rams who had nobody out there. And in Arizona, we're laughing because we see the injury report. Like, boy, this should be a layup. They got nobody playing in this one. And then all of a sudden in the fourth quarter, you could kind of just start to see the momentum shift and shift and shift. So how do they become quicker? Because there's not some magic trade out there that's going to make them faster, Baldy. Or is this maybe a sign of things to come this year?
Well, I mean, look, 2 weeks in a row, you've been up double digits in the second half and you can't finish. Now, but that's an execution thing. That's just execution. So, I mean, it always, and you know, as a coach, I'm sure Kyle and John Lynch and the whole group, they're just saying it's execution, it's execution. But they're not getting big plays. Outside of Fred Warner, a couple of the big plays defensively. Nick gets himself an interception. A really good read by Nick to make that play. But they're not getting the big plays the way Arizona just got on Sunday.
Yeah.
50-yard touchdown run. They're not getting those type of plays right now. Not flipping the field where you can, like, okay, you're up 23. You know, 23-10, whatever it was, and you can put that team away like they should have. They're not getting those type of plays where you can get big chunks, and that's kind of speaks to the speed element.
Well, next time we see you, the Niners will be getting ready for the Kansas City Chiefs, and we're discussing in our first segment today, Baldy, that since that Super Bowl, it feels like the gap between the Niners and Chiefs is just growing wider and wider and wider. Kareem Hunt, turn back the clock. Juju Smith-Schuster, turn back the clock. And that may be the best defense Andy Reid has ever had down there in Kansas City. I mean, what?
Year last year. Nobody can block Chris Jones right now. He's just on. But just the way that they play defensively, their blitzes, like, you know, they might not. I mean, if you just put the whole team, Kansas City against San Francisco in a foot race, it might be even. But the way that they play so much faster.
Yeah.
The way that they come after you with free hitters to the quarterback and just affect the quarterback like they did David Carr last night. Like, they just play so much faster. Defensively, they're very, very good. That Nick Bolton, nobody seems to be able to block him. I know Fred gets all of the roses, and he should. I mean, Fred's been unbelievable. But, you know, they just play the game. They've got big, thick linebackers. And when you look at Leo Chenal and Tranquil and Bolton, I mean, they're just big on that side of the field. But yet they're very, very – they play very fast.
Yeah, they hit. Their blitzes are exotic, and it goes back to what you said about the Niners blitz package. This looks so damn predictable. Baldy, where are you going to be this weekend?
I'm going to be right here in Philly. I'm going to see the Cleveland Browns and the Eagles coming off a bye week, see if any of these teams can get – you know, they're both stuck in the mud. See which team gets out of the mud right now.
Deshaun Watson, what? Oh, my gosh. That was – Baldy, did you throw away that film watching the command? Well, you probably did because Jay Daniels was putting on the show, and the Commanders look like they got something brewing out there. But the Browns, what a disgusting film. Oh, my gosh.
Well, the whole, I mean, honestly, the AFC North, which we thought was going to be must-see TV going into the season, it's now the NFC North where you have to watch these games. But, you know, Cincinnati's 1-4, and yet they can put up 35 points on anybody, yet they're still 1-4. So, I mean, it's a lot of football to be played, but Cleveland can still play some defense, but every defense collapses when the offense can't score.
No doubt. Baldy, you're the best, man. Can't wait to see you next week when the Niners take on the Kansas City Chiefs. Good stuff, Baldy. Hey,
all right, guys. Enjoy Thursday night. We'll talk.
See you, buddy.
We'll do, Baldy. Baldy, here on the River Islands guest line. River Islands guest line, Brian Baldinger, man. This is a sobering conversation about the 49ers. Sobering conversation. Fred Warner. I knew something didn't look right. I know about the damn contest, Benoni. I'm depressed right now. I'm depressed. All right? These people can wait. All right? 415-523-4652.
What's that for?
To qualify 10 winners to come have breakfast with Baldy next Friday before the 49ers-Chiefs game. First 10 callers to call the contest line, 415-523-4652. That's 415-523-4652
crack,
to win a spot and have breakfast with Brian Baldinger. That's happening right now.